When I was introduced to this practice in Burma, I came to the meditation center and I was given a 15-minute cassette tape that had the entire instructions. And the simple way of understanding it is that whatever is happening in any sphere of present moment experience, direct experience, know that it's happening. In Burma, we were instructed to note it, to use a mental note. And so everything that our immediate direct experience was included. There was nothing excluded, nothing unacceptable for mindfulness. I came to appreciate that all-inclusive nature of awareness is sacred. That when nothing is excluded from awareness, everything can arise in awareness, allowed to be there. There's something so special about that awareness that it's kind of a sacred dimension. As soon as we say, not that, then we lose that special way of being in the world. It doesn't mean that we don't say no to things in the world. Just that awareness doesn't say no. Awareness is available to experience everything. So in Burma, it was all said at once. As this tradition that we're in came to the United States, there evolved the idea of presenting the instructions sequentially over some days, breath, then body, then emotions, then thinking, which allows us to kind of connect to each one more fully, maybe, and learn about them rather than all at once, everything. It also is a very nice sequence because there's something about generally that the more we can learn to ground ourselves in the breathing, the easier it is to be mindful of the body. Generally, the more we can ground ourselves and be embodied in practice, the easier it is to be with emotions. And the more we can know how to be with emotions, the easier it is to be mindful of thinking. Also, if we focus on thinking at the beginning, the first day, chances are that we would just think more. But by the fourth day, maybe there's some possibility that we can be aware of thinking in such a way that we don't just think more thoughts about thinking, but there's a quiet, maybe calm awareness of thinking that looks upon thinking as just another phenomena, like the sound of a car going by, the green of the trees, the entire sea. Many times we live in our thinking. And in doing this practice, it's a training to live in awareness instead. Doesn't mean we reject thinking. It means we don't live in it. We don't become thinking, Some people, it's almost like thinking is who they are. So to be aware, to know we're thinking, is kind of like how it was when I was young. In college, I lived in an apartment with four other college mates. And there was a balcony in the apartment. One day I was outside on the balcony with the sliding door closed, sliding glass door. And I looked back into the apartment. Two of my roommates were talking in a friendly but very animated way. And I couldn't hear what they were saying. But for the first time in my life, I became aware there was so much more going on when people talk than just the words. The gestures, the body language, the energy, the emotions that were somehow I could pick up just watching without knowing the words. And so the same way when we're mindful of emotions, there's so much more to be aware of than just what we're thinking. There's the activity itself of thinking that involves so much more than the content of the thought. There's the energy behind it, the attitudes behind it, the emotions underlying them. If you think in words, there's a tone of the voice. If you think in images, it's the production of the images. There might be body sensations connected to thinking, tensions of different types, pressure, contraction. There might be a tension or agitation, restlessness in the mind or the heart or anywhere. So to learn to shift from living in thoughts, and it's helpful to consider that what the mind does, it produces thoughts. And we can have the verb thoughting, the mind thoughts. And But thinking is when thoughts are connected to each other, one after the other. And in some form or other, what connects the thoughts, the thread that sews them together, is desire. Some kind of desire. Wanting, some kind of negative wanting, not wanting. Some involvement, some glue, some involvement with the thoughts. Sometimes it's possible to feel the desire, the pull, the gravitational force of thinking of thoughting that contributes to the idea of thinking. Nothing is wrong, nothing is a mistake. But it's possible to step away from thinking enough to turn around and look at it and see, oh, there's thinking. Almost as if you could say to yourself, oh, this is thinking, this is the mind having its thoughts. This is the process, the activity of thinking, where it's so, where you're clearly not living in the thoughts, but you're looking at them with as much silence or quiet as your eyes are silent when they look at something outside. So if you want to follow me, I'll offer you a little exercise. And that is to bring your attention to some place in your body that's pretty neutral. Maybe it could be the hand again. And if it's the hand or whatever it is, let yourself feel the sensations there. And see if you can feel or know the body's experience of the sensations. And if there's so much neutral sensations, see if you can know it, be aware of it, simply, without being for or against it, without the need to think about it or have commentary about it or judgments. Just very simply allowing the sensation to be there in its own right, its own way. And see if you can feel your way or to a way of knowing the sensation. Where you're not entangled with it or caught in it or judging it, just knowing, simplicity of knowing. Of recognition of what it is. And now, switching, but with that kind of knowing, become aware of yourself thinking that for the next few minutes you're allowed to think. It's okay to think. And see if you can step away and look back at thinking. With the same simple knowing as you had for the body sensation. Not for or against. Just knowing it in its own right, just as it is, as if it's okay for it to be there. But you step away and look back, and oh, I see, this is thinking. Like you're looking, thinking right in the eye and saying, hi there, I know you're there. It may be similar to my standing on the balcony and looking through the window at my friends talking, not hearing what they were saying. Maybe you can shift your attention of thinking from the content of what you're thinking to the activity of thinking. The level of energy that your mind is giving to thinking. Is there a location where thinking is most present for you? If you think in words, maybe it's somehow inside the skull, behind the forehead or someplace. Maybe it's an inner voice that you hear. What's the tone of that voice? If you think more in images, where are the images? Sometimes some people see them just ahead of themselves, like on a screen. How involved are you in the images? Leaning into them, pulling away from them. Is there any tension or pressure associated with thinking? Independent of what you're thinking about, is there pressure, tension? If it's easy on the exhale to relax that tension, it's a nice thing, that can be nice to do. Is there any attitude or emotion connected to thinking? And if there is, to practice mindfulness of the emotion. And if there's an emotion that's being mindful of, how does that feel in the body? What's the embodied expression of that emotion? And practicing mindfulness of the body. If you're practicing mindfulness of the body, maybe it's useful to breathe with the sensations, the body. In this way, there's other things to notice besides the content of the thoughts, what you're thinking about. So if thinking becomes predominant or seems important to be mindful of, rather than struggling with it, rather than wandering off in it, practice mindfulness of thinking. And when it seems that thinking is no longer compelling or that it's no longer useful to be mindful of it, begin again with your breathing. And maybe any further thinking can just recede to the background. And if quiet thoughts are in the background and in the foreground, you can stay with your breathing. Maybe there's no need anymore to be mindful of emotions. No need to be mindful of thinking. And when we're not caught with our thinking, not living in thoughts, maybe from time to time we can be aware of a sweet silence, spaciousness that surrounds all things. you notice you've been caught up in the world of thinking, don't be in a hurry to let go of it and come back to the breathing or the present moment. Take some moments to just know what's happening. Know what that experience is like. Perhaps recognizing how being caught up in thoughts narrows the world. Maybe even sometimes losing touch with the body, with present moment experience. Take a few moments to be mindful of the activity, the kind of wider ecology of thinking. It's more than just the content. And after a few moments of doing that, if it seems appropriate, then welcome back your breathing into awareness. In the last minutes of this sitting, I'd like to offer you an image for practice. It's that of a stream, a gentle creek, water is flowing down. It's flowing, you know, gentle current. And from a tree over the stream, a leaf falls down and settles flat on top of the surface of the stream. And the current carries the leaf downstream. The leaf is not leaning forward into downstream. It's not concerned with what's coming up ahead. It's not thinking or concerned with what had happened upstream before. It's just allowing itself to be carried by the current. And in a sense is always an instant behind, because the current is slightly ahead pulling the leaf, and the leaf just floats on that pull, on that current. Our present moment awareness, our present moment, is sometimes seen as a stream. It's always flowing. The current of the present moment never stops. We don't stop time. And mindfulness can be like a leaf. It floats on the current. Not concerned about what's coming up. Not lingering at what has passed. The mindfulness is always just a moment, instant behind. It's being carried, pulled by the current, floating on the current of the present moment. Something new happens in the present. And a moment later, and then knowing knows what that is. An in-breath that begins, and an awareness follows the awareness of in-breath, and out-breath begins, and ever so slightly behind, awareness knows an out-breath is happening. A sound arises. And then awareness floats on that current. A thought arises, and an instant later, almost simultaneously, but not quite, there's awareness of a thought. Allow yourself to float on the experiences that come and occur. Notice awareness does float between sensations that come and go, between experiences. And if you stay on one thing for a while, like with the breathing, all kinds of sensations that are occurring within each breath. Let your awareness follow, float calmly, no hurry. No need to be thinking about what happened. Just ready and available to float onward in the stream of the present moment. When I was a Zen student in the Zen Center, there was a practice of the teachers coming around during the meditation to adjust our posture. So we'd help us sit in the, you know, the more yogic posture of Zen. And they would come behind us and gently put their hands on our shoulder to let us know that they were there and that they were going to adjust our posture. If I was daydreaming, lost in thought, and they put their hand on my shoulder, I would be startled. But if I was present, really here, present from my experience, it would just a surprise, in a sense, to have that hand on my shoulder. But immediately my response was to go kind of soft and receive and kind of like, oh, okay. When we're lost in our thought, preoccupied in thinking, our capacity to be present for change and what comes to us and our experiences that happen becomes quite a bit smaller than our capacity to be with things when we're not caught in thoughts. It really limits our life and limits our responsivity. So as you're doing, sitting, walking, eating, whatever you're doing here, and you find yourself kind of involved in thinking, don't be bothered by it, don't reject it, don't be troubled by it, but do take a few moments to see if you can discover how it is, what it was like for you to be in that world of preoccupation, how it limited your world, narrowed it down. Some people describe how the mind gets kind of cloudy, and some people can feel how they lose touch with their body, even the surroundings. And just to know, oh, that's how it is. That's interesting. It's like being your own scientist. Oh, that's how it is. Or your own anthropologist. Oh, that's how this human life is. And then begin your walking again. And see if then you can then notice how, or sitting, or whatever you're doing, and see that as mindfulness returns, is there an opening, a greater inclusion, just kind of without trying even, just like, oh, more of the present moment now is here. And learning the contrast between being lost in thought versus being present is a wonderful contrast to get to familiar with. And you have to take a little bit of time to do that. And if you could just jerk your mind back from thinking and back to your breathing or something, you don't learn. I mean, what's really the bigger picture of what's happening? And one of the things you'll learn from that is that maybe there's something better to be doing than thinking a lot. There's a better place to be. One of the things that I also learned in Zen was the instructions about thinking was, don't be bothered by your thinking. And that was so useful for me because I was so bothered by the fact that I was thinking. I thought I had to be quiet and silent in my mind and not think. And sometimes at war with my thinking. And I heard this, don't be bothered, wow. That kind of like was a paradigm shift, like, oh. Took a little while to understand what that meant exactly, but just the principle first. Wow, don't be bothered, really? And so I learned then to not be bothered. I learned what one of the things I learned was that when I was bothered by thinking, that was fuel to think more. It was like almost like activating and thinking even more. But if I wasn't bothered, it didn't mean that I was stuck in the thinking. It meant that I wasn't fueling it or, you know, stirring it up even more. In fact, it was like the opposite. It was almost like I stopped fueling it, stepping back and just seeing it or just letting it be in the background. If thinking can be in the background and it doesn't feel like it's interfering, just let it be there. So walking meditation is an interesting place to see how all this works. Something you might try doing if it seems helpful is if you find yourself really lost in thought while walking, is to just stop in your tracks, close your eyes, and take stock. What just happened? What was that about? And once you've kind of acknowledged it, start again. Another thing that I find nice with walking meditation is to kind of an act of imagination I do. And This is how I do it. I imagine I'm a passenger in a car, so I'm not driving the car, and I'm still, I'm not moving. But the world, it's rather than the car is moving, but I imagine I'm not moving, and what's happening, rather than the car going into the world's coming to me and going right by. So even though I'm walking, so you could say conventionally I'm the one going into the world, I imagine that's the other way around. And what that does for me is it kind of opens up my field of consciousness to be wider, receptive, expansive, a little bit. Just receive the experience. So I'm a little bit slightly behind it, with mindfulness. You know, an instant behind because it's receptive, has to come, and then I know it. And then then my mind, my consciousness gets more receptive and open, and a little bit wider. And then I drop that, I keep that open feeling, and then I lower my attention to my feet. And what I become receptive to and receive the flow of is the flow current of the sensations of the feet as I walk. And periodically I need to kind of step back and redo that because I've gotten involved in thought, thinking, and with thinking I get a little contracted and then open again. If what I said today about how to practice with thinking and thoughting seems too complicated, it makes you just think more, you can forget it. You can put it aside until it's relevant. You don't have to try to do some mental gymnastics to try to make it work. If it's easy, just coming back to your breathing over and over again is so powerful, so useful. So don't make this too complicated. But if there's ways of something I said today that adds a little kind of support for you to be present, you don't have to go through all of it, and just whatever is useful for you. Keeps you in that flow, the current of the present moment. And finally, about mindfulness is that the other day I talked about going about the higher sea at the speed of mindfulness of the body. If you'd like today, you might go at the speed that helps you not get lost in your thoughts, where you don't kind of lose your present moment of awareness and off you are. You know, by the time you walk to the bottom of the steps, like you're at Disneyland. And what speed would you go about and do your activity? So you're just tracking yourself just enough that you don't easily succumb to a lot of thinking, pulled into that current of the thinking, but rather stay in the current of the present moment. And there's no particular speed that has to be, except what's best for you at that time. But generally, when we do some things too fast, if you're a dishwasher and you start doing it really fast and feel impatient about how long it's taking, or chances are that's when you get pulled into the world of thinking. And it's probably better, in the terms of the practice overall, that you come to the next sitting late, but have not stayed in that speed of mindfulness, than if you got rushed to try to finish in time and get up here on time. Then you might find yourself all stirred up. So practicing at the speed of staying present, not lost in thought. So announcements today. It is Thursday. And continuing with the cycles of practice discussion, now everyone has been seen once, I hope. If not, let us know. And now, today, the people who had a practice discussion on Tuesday will have it today. And the people who had practice discussion yesterday will have it tomorrow. And it'll be the same time as you had before. But those of you who saw Inez on Tuesday will see me today. Those who saw me on Tuesday will see Inez today. And, you know, I'm on the Bodhi deck, which is on the way to see Inez. You probably saw it as you walked up there. And if those who saw me will go further up that path to the treehouse, by that house there, down the garage, and just wait until the person before you comes out, you know, on the up, far end of that walkway. And if you probably, you know, it's a good idea to check the interview sheet where you signed up. Your name is still exactly where you put it before, but Inez and my names have been switched. And the days have been switched up on top. Same piece of paper. So it's, Tuesday was crossed out. Thursday's been in. But check it again so you make sure. And then Marjolaine has put up a sign-up sheet for the afternoon. She's going to, for three practice discussions. If you feel like you would like to have a little more practice discussion with her, that sheet is up now and you can sign up. She'll put up another one tomorrow as well. So thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy your day. And it's possible it's going to rain a little bit today.